All right, now let's talk about analyzing them. Let me ask you a question. If I have a property, the after-repaired value, you're going to hear that term a lot. You always want to know what the after-repaired value of a property is. Say the after-repaired value is $150,000. I've got $10,000 in repairs that need to be done. How much do you think I can buy that property for and make a $20,000 profit? Anybody get an idea? 120? Who else? 100?
Yeah,
100, 105. All right, this is the way it works. Buying right. You make money when you buy, not when you sell. What I've found is, you know, there's a formula out there that says, take your after repaired value, multiply it by 70%, subtract any rehab cost that you'll have, and that's the maximum allowable offer that you'll have for that property. That's another term you hear a lot, maximum allowable offer. So, when I first started out, I was doing that, and I was buying some properties with it, but I soon realized that I was losing a lot of properties as well. So I figured out all the costs that it was going to take me to get into the property, all the costs that they were going to be as I was going through the property, and then all the costs that I was going to occur when I was closing the property. And I figured out a list. And I found that if I took into these costs into account when I first went into the property, then I could buy more and still get my $20,000 out of the property. I'm going to go through each one of these. So if you want to write them down. Yeah?
Hi. I have your course, and I've used that form,
yep.
Which I actually find very helpful. But the one thing I noticed that's not included is a home inspection fee. Is there a reason why that's not included?
No, you should actually, there's a 10% fudge factor. She asked me, there's not a home inspection fee included on this, and we're going to go through the whole form. It probably should be on there. It's part of your closings when you initially purchase the property. But when you're doing your rehab, that can be included in your fudge factor as well. We're going to go over that right now. Because when I first started, I didn't know anything about construction. I had a construction company within a year that had 18 guys working for me. And my father used to shake his head saying, the kid can't even swing a hammer. You know, he's got all these people. He's buying all these houses. The one thing I learned is now I'm a general contractor. I've done work for Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, the RTC. I was their number one contractor in Massachusetts for them when all the problems started. But even that being said, my qualifications, I always get a home inspection every time I buy a property. And that's because in case I might have missed something, number one. But number two, it tells me what the next home inspector is going to see when the buyers are coming in. All right? And so it's worth the $150 insurance policy, you know, which is the home inspection, to go out and just have it done. So here are some costs that you're going to see. Attorney's fees when you buy. The attorneys are going to cost you about $700 to close it. Title search is going to be about $125. Plot plan is $125. Notary fee, recording fee, and setting up the trust, because you're not going to buy the property in your own name. That's going to total about $1,775. Then you're going to have closing costs when you sell. You're going to have attorney fees, you're going to draw up a deed. Seller always draws up the deed. The state taxes, in this state it's 0.05%. There's always some sort of a transfer tax. Recording fees are 50, mortgage payoff fee, any outstanding municipal liens. That's probably going to cost you about $1,000 when you go to resell the property. Next cost are your financing fees, and this is the one I used to forget. I used to forget all my interest and my monthly payments, and I used to chunk into my profits. The average closing cost at a bank is about $2,500. Then you're going to get hit with points, and each point is 1% of the loan amount. So if you've got a loan of $75,000, a point is $750. The average closing cost with the hard money is $2,500, but they're going to charge you more points. They're going to charge you anywhere from 5 to 10 points normally. So you want to include those costs in as well. Then your interest payments. I always figure basic interest, you know, and I figure it at 15% if I'm going into a property. Now, that might seem high, but you know what? We still buy properties with hard money. We bought a lot of properties when we first started with hard money. So we just worked it into the deal. If I can still get my $20,000 and pay somebody 15% for giving me the money, then that's great. It's a lot better than paying a partner 50%, you know, for the money. It's cheaper. So I calculate that by, say, if I had a loan amount of $97,500 times 0.15, gives me yearly interest of $14,000. Take that $14,000, divide it by 12 months, gives me $1,219. every time I go to buy a property and I figure I'm going to flip it, I figure it's going to take me 6 months to flip that property. So all my figures are based on 6 months. So the 1219 times 6 be 7,300. So that goes into my interest column. Taxes are real easy. I figure out what my tax bill is for the property, and I divide that by 2, and that gives me 6 months of taxes. Water and utility, $75 a month for water and utilities. Normally 6 months is $450. Heat or air conditioning, about $200 per month, regardless of what time of year it is. I just factored it in anyways. 6 months is about $1,200. And then real estate commissions. Even though I own PHP Realty, I still factor in a real estate commission. Believe me, I still try to sell it myself. I don't let my agents get their hands on it until I can figure out whether we can sell it ourselves or not. But you know, the main reason you go in with a real estate agent is because of the access to the multiple listing service. And if you go in there and try to get a cut rate commission on your listing, what's going to happen is this is how I train my agents, and this is how every other office trains their agents. They tell them to find out what the buyer's looking for. All right? Go out there and find all those houses that meet the buyer's criteria. After you've done that, show it to them in threes. And the way you show it to them in threes is you look for the ones with the higher commissions. If everything else is equal, you show them the ones with the higher commissions first. Because after all, you want to get paid, right? And you want to get paid the most amount of money that you can. So you show the higher commissions first. So if you've got one, if it's normally in this area right now, it's anywhere from 4 to 5%. But if it's normally 5% in your area and your commission, you negotiated a 3% commission, you haven't done yourself any favors. No real estate agent is going to go out there and try to sell your property. That's going to be the last one that they're going to show. So if you have an agent, they're going to put it on the multiple listing service. You know, give them whatever the going rate is. You'll get more people into your property and you'll get potentially more offers and potentially higher offers. Then we take into consider rehab costs. When you're first starting out, you should take your rehab costs, whatever you thought they were going to be, and increase that by 20%, because it's always going to be over. After you get a little experience, you can increase them by about 10%. Then the insurance, get your costs for a vacant policy. It's called a builder's risk policy. Don't get a homeowner's insurance policy. If you get a homeowner's insurance policy, what's going to happen is you're going to have a loss on the property. They're going to find out that it was vacant, and they're not going to cover your loss. Now, sure, this is more expensive. It's $800 a month, but I'll tell you what. If you have a loss on your property and you're covered here, you're going to get what's called an insurance adjuster or a private adjuster. Anybody familiar with private adjusters? What a private adjuster does is he goes and he works for you against your insurance company and gets you as much money as you can. And if you have a fire or any type of damage, usually they're at your property giving you their card. All right, or you can find them in the phone book. But to give you an idea, we owned a property on Grand Street over in Brockton. We still own it. No, we just sold it, actually. And it had a fire on the second floor. Insurance, we figured it was going to cost us about $8,000 to fix it. Insurance company wanted to give us $12,000 to fix it, which we thought was okay. The private adjuster got us $36,000. And he gets 10% of that. That's how they make their money. So they're trying to get you as much as they can. We bought a property in East Boston that had a flood because all the pipes burst in weather like this. It ended up, it was going to cost us about $4,000 to get it done. The insurance company only wanted to give us $4,000. Private adjuster got us $16,000. So they're worth their money. And it's worth it to have the builder's risk policy, even though it's more expensive. Another friend of ours, another investor, tried to stage his house. And he put a bed in there and some blankets and put some food in the fridge to try to make it look like someone was living there so he could get the cheaper policy. He had a fire in the policy. Half of it burnt down. Not only did they decide that there wasn't anybody occupying the property and they not pay the claim, they hit him for fraud charges, insurance fraud. So it's just not worth it.
How much was the cheaper policy?
How much is the cheaper policy? It's about $400 a year. It's only about half as much.
Okay.
But if it's not owner-occupied, if there's nobody living there, don't get it. Get the vacant policy. Yeah. All right, when you're looking for profits, if the rehab's under $20,000, then you want a $20,000 profit. If it starts going over $20,000, then you want a $30,000 profit or more. We just put in an offer on a property that had $71,000 in repairs, and we factored in a $50,000 profit because I wasn't going to do it for any less than $50,000. All right, these are those figures that we just talked about. The sales price, $150,000. Rehab was $10,000. Closing costs, $1,775. Closing costs at the sale, $950. Insurance, $800. Taxes, $600. Utilities, interest payments, broker's commission, profit. And what I do with the profit is, I'll tell you in a minute. Notice what the costs are. $10,000 rehab is going to cost about $50,000 to get into that property and to get your profit out. Your maximum allowable offer is about $95,000. Surprising, isn't it? So your maximum allowable offer is $95,000. Now, when I fill out this form, I actually use this as a negotiating tool. I'll take this and I'll flip it right around to the seller when I'm filling it out. And especially, this works with motivated sellers. It doesn't work with the other ones. And I'll say, Mr. Seller, you obviously need to sell your property. You need to sell it within a short period of time. The only people that are going to buy your property are investors, right? And as I'm doing this, I'm nodding my head up and down, and I'm getting them to nod as well. You understand that the only people that are going to buy your house are investors. Well, let me show you how an investor is going to look at your property. And then I go through all the figures, and you can justify every one of these figures here because it's true. Now, when I put these figures in front of a seller, do I put my bare-bone minimum figures down here? No. I put it up. If I can have a roof done for $3,000, but normally it's going to cost somebody else $4,500 or $5,000, I put the $5,000 down on there. Or maybe I'll go by what's called the means book. There's a means book. It's an estimating book. And their prices are way up there. You know, so you can go by those prices and just show them this is what it's going to cost you to rehab your property. And I come right down to profit. And I say, we're investors. We make our money buying and selling properties. We do look to make a profit, and we won't go into a deal for a profit of at least $20,000. You do understand that, don't you? You get the big nod on that one. And then we close them. And I've used this to close motivated sellers many, many times. It works really well. Then what I'll do, you'll notice this other figure here. We calculate how much those buildings are going to cost us every day to run. So we got the yearly taxes, the insurance, the utilities, and the interest. Those are our known fees. It's going to cost us about $60 a day to run that building. So we have that figure in front of us. We know every day that building is on our books, it's costing us $60. Now, the other thing I do is this is the actual form itself. I put an actual side down here. After we're done with our property, I come down here and I put down what it actually costs us to do that property. And then I look to see what was off over here. And if I'm way over on one thing, I want to know why. If I'm way under, I want to know why. Maybe costs have gone up or come down in any particular areas. And if they have, then I'm going to be adjusting when I'm going after other houses. So that's analysis. That's what you need to know. Those are the two things, marketing and analysis.
How about if they owed like $125,000 on that?
If they owed $125,000 on that house, then you probably wouldn't be able to do anything with it because you need to buy it for about $90,000. You can try to negotiate with the bank. Yeah, you could negotiate with them because the minimum they could accept is the $125,000 that they owed. But you could negotiate with the bank and see if you could do what we were talking about earlier, is a short sale, and see if you could get it down to $100,000 or
so. If you were to wholesale the property to another investor or somebody else,
yep.
What kind of profit would you figure into that equation?
If you're going to wholesale?
Wholesale.
Depends on how much equity is in the property. If you're going to, now, we're going to go into wholesaling next. Wholesaling is when you buy and you sell it to another investor really quickly. Normally, you can get a $3,000 to $5,000 profit. If you've got a lot of equity in there, you can wholesale it for $10,000. You know, an investor is going to look to get $20,000 out of a property. So if you get a property with $50,000, well, maybe you'll wholesale it for $20,000, you know? A lot of times the wholesaler, the person that's buying it from you, they don't know what your deal is. They just know you're assigning. Do you have another one?
Yes. In some of the real estate courses, they suggest looking for, ugly houses, junkers, boarded up houses.
Yeah.
And you know, in those cases, it might cost a ton of money to fix it up. What's the maximum repair cost that will prevent you from going forward or going past the deal?
Well, the maximum repair cost that would stop me from getting into a deal, it all depends on how much I'm going to get from the deal. Like if it's $50,000 in repairs and I'm only going to make $20,000 on the deal, I'm not going to get into that deal because there's too much that can happen within that $50,000 to shoot that right up to $60,000 or $70,000, and all of a sudden I'm breaking even and I've just spent six months on this rehab. You know, so it all depends on how much money is in the deal that will determine how much you're willing to do for the rehab. But I'll tell you, when you're first starting out, you want rehabs $20,000 or less. Or when they start getting higher, you want to partner with somebody that knows how to do it so they can walk you through step by step so you have experience for the next one. Because there's nothing that goes up faster and spirals up than rehab costs on properties. And that's where you will lose your most money.